Welcome to another message from the teaching team here at Fellowship Forney. For more information about our church, service times, and location, visit us online at fellowshipforney.org. Here's Pastor Danny with today's message.
So if you've been walking with us, if you've been here the past couple of weeks, we've been walking through the book of Joshua. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 5 today. But before I jump into my part, I want to piggyback off of what Pastor Rick talked about on last week in Joshua chapter 4. Okay, he talked about memorials last week. He talked about the place of memorials. He talked about the purpose of memorials, and he talked about the power of memorials. But memorials are constantly causing us to look back. Okay, it's Memorial Day weekend, as a matter of fact. We're reflecting on this weekend of people that have served. We're reflecting on things that have happened in the past. And yes, we need to know history, but sometimes history is paralyzing to the effort of progress. So we can't get stuck in yesterday, glorify our memorials so much that we become cemented in the past and not continuing forward towards the future. Let's look at it in modern day culture. Back in the day, there were landlines. If we would have just stopped at landlines, we wouldn't have cell phones, okay? If we would have just stopped at landlines, we wouldn't have the tablets that you guys love to stick in your kids' faces to get them out of your face. Okay, if we were stuck back in the bad time, the times of Model T cars, we wouldn't have electric cars, which I need right now because gas is extremely too high. Okay, so if we get caught up in the past, if we get caught up in history, we can never really get towards what God wants us to do. Now, let's just be honest. Most of us have probably already read ahead to Joshua chapter 6. We're ready for it. We're happy about Joshua chapter 6. It's the promised land. It's the beautiful thing that we have been just anticipating. When Pastor Jared preached a couple of weeks ago, he was all like, hey, Joshua chapter 6 is coming, but you got these other chapters that are right in between there, all right? I look at Joshua chapter 5 as a preparation chapter, getting us ready for that promised land. We look at Joshua. We look at what he's been through in his life. We look at where he is right now in his relationship and his walk with Christ. So at the same time, in order for us to get to where God wants us to be, there's a preparation period. Let's just be honest. We live this life to live again. We're walking, we're talking, we come to church every Sunday, we're learning about Christ, we're sharpening our tools, we're going out into the world, we're trying our best to bring others to Christ in preparation for that day, which is a day of meeting Christ. So I look at Joshua chapter 5 as a preparation chapter because we look at Joshua in three different facets. We see him getting ready. We see him sometimes afraid. We see him looking and questioning his own self. So I want you to put yourselves in Joshua's position this morning. I want you to look at the text in a way that, hey, maybe I could find myself some point in my life right now where Joshua was in Joshua chapter 5. It's dark sometimes in our life. It's gloomy. We know what God has called us to do. For some of us, we don't know why God has called us to do what we have to do. But in the meantime, between time, it's never, never not right to sometimes question yourself. And the question, is this what God really wants me to do? So as we dive in today, I want you to put yourselves in Joshua's shoes. Okay, so let's read together. It's going to be on the screen. Do not add this into my preaching time, but you might want to because I'm short-winded. So if you want to add this in, that'd be great for me to get my minute count up, all right? Let's start at Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. As soon as all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they had crossed over, their hearts melted and there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the sons of Israel a second time. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Jabbeth and Haraloth. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the males of the people who came out of Egypt, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had came out of Egypt. Though all the people who came out had been circumcised, yet all the people who were born on the way in the wilderness after they had come out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the people of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not obey the voice of the Lord. the Lord swore to them that he would not let them see the land that the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it was their children whom he had raised up in their place that Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. When the circumcision of the whole nation was finished, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. And so the name of that place is called Gilgal till this day. While the people of Israel were encamped at Gilgal, they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month in the evening on the plains of Jericho. And the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land, and there was no longer manna for the people of Israel. But they ate of the fruit of the land and of Canaan that year. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. There's a whole lot to unpack in 15 verses. I really lamented the fact that Pastor Rick gave the student pastor the topic of circumcision. And I'm like, are you serious? So, I'm going to make a deal with you, all right? We're going to talk about this, but you're going to have to answer all the questions at the lunch table today, okay? I'm just going to be honest, all right? Point number one that I want to make today before I get into the meat of the message, it's our time. It's our time as the people of God to stand up. It's our time to be that light in darkness. If we take a look around at everything that's going on in our world, it is our time. It's time for us to come out of the shadows. It's time for us to come out of the four walls of the church and go out and grab other people to bring them in. It's our time. The time right now that we're living in the world lets us know that it's time for us as the body of the believers to come together and go out and spread the gospel. It's our time. So I want us to find ourselves in this portion of the scripture. Point number one I want to make this morning is the first thing that we must do is identify who we are. Circumcision was a way of identification. It was the way that you were identified. Like I said, when your daughter or son today asks, what's circumcision? You can explain that, okay? I'm going to let you guys have that one. But if we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 17, that's what God commanded Abram to do. He said, I want you to circumcise your sons, the ones that are bought. I want you to circumcise all of them, okay? And then what I want you to do is I want you to keep the covenant, all right? God had that requirement for Abraham. Every male in his household, born or bought, every male in every generation to come had to be circumcised. It marked them as God's people. Now we're here in Joshua chapter 5, and before they go into the promised land, there was a generation that needed to be identified as God's people. And why? There were people already in the promised land who identified themselves by outside markers. And it was necessary for the children of Israel to have special markers that helped identify them as God's people, worshipers of Jehovah. And that is what's needed the most in today's time. Let's just be honest. Circumcision is not the most painless procedure, okay? And guess what? In the identifying of who we are, it's going to be painful. There's some things that you're going to have to cut off, no pun intended, from your life that you don't need anymore. You have to identify who you are in Christ. You have to identify that, yes, I've been called by God for a certain purpose and a certain mandate. But sometimes in our lives, it's not comfortable. We don't like that. We don't like getting rid of the things that we love okay? I'll pick on myself. Yes, you guys know this. My core kids know this. Mr. Danny loves bread. I don't know why. I love bread. I will literally go to Texas Roadhouse, and once they put that bread on the table, steer clear. Get out of my way. And guess what? Mr. Danny's gut started to show it. I gained a lot of weight because of it. And guess what? I was sluggish. I was tired. All the time, I'm like, oh my goodness, I just don't feel like getting up. I'm dragging. I'm moving slow. I had to cut something out of my diet to make me feel better. And guess what? In the same walk that we're walking in our Christian life, there are some things that we need to cut off so that we can be clearly identified in this dark world. For God to be able to use us, we have to be willing vessels of Him. We all know that. We can't live a double life. If you were to see Mr. Danny up here, and I'm preaching, and I'm teaching, and then you see me 2 or 3 days from now saying some words that I shouldn't say, you would probably look at me a little bit different. We have to identify who we are. And identification in today's world is very, very easy to do, but it's not really cherished among the world. Because guess what? When we go to our jobs, when we go in, we just want to just get through the day. We want to fit in. No one wants to stand out. No one does. Everyone wants to just kind of be in their own little bubble. Everybody wants to do their own thing with all. But God commanded Joshua, hey, hold on. There's an identification process that needs to take place before you even get to the promised land. Before I even get to what you need to get to, there are some things that you have to do on your own. There are some things that you have to look within yourself as a baptized, believing Christian. There's some things that you need to identify with. What am I struggling with? What do I need to be better at? Where am I right now? Hey, where am I trying to get to? So I love Joshua here because it teaches us that we have to separate ourselves. It's a painful process. It's a hurtful process, but we have to separate ourselves. There's a point in every person's life to where you have to take a road that, you know what, I gotta walk this road by myself. And it's okay. If you look at 2 Corinthians 6:14, it teaches us how to do that. It's gonna be on the screens, but I'm gonna read it. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, and God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, said the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Almighty. So we have to identify who we are, because the place called Gilgal literally means rolling away the reproach. There are some things that we need to let roll out of our lives and let go of. The Bible teaches us to be blameless. We're not perfect, but we should be blameless. We should live above reproach. We should be living a life that is an example to those who might need to follow Christ. In 1,000 ways, we are in the world. But in none of these ways, we should be of the world. So kids, I want to encourage you. I know school's out. I know that you're excited. I know that you probably got all your plans all set out, your vacations, you're going with your friends. How are you going to be different this year? Or are you going to say, you know what? I don't want to go to the park on Wednesday nights, hang out with the church. I'm going to hang out with my friends. Hey, you can hang out with your friends at the park with the church. Even adults. Hey, I know for a fact that you might go into your workplace and they might be talking about some things that are not contrary to what you believe in. Are you going to be that person to step in and say, hey, I want to introduce you to a man named Jesus. I want you to follow this guy that I follow, that I talk to every day, that I read about, that I go to church and I worship. Or are you afraid to do that? Have you not identified who you are? Have you been not living in your truth? Do you need an extra push to get you to that point in your life to where you can really identify fully with Christ? So that's number one, we have to identify who we are. But number two, we need to cooperate with God for productivity. The wilderness was never promised to Israel. The promised land was. So before we get into battle, we have to be prepared to fight those giants in our lives by getting ready and preparing with God for the productivity. All right? So there's three questions I want to ask you. And you don't have to answer them out loud. You can answer them in your notebook. But number one, have we drifted into the wilderness? Have I gotten away from God? It has been super easy to do that. We just come back from COVID, so guess what? Church wasn't open. Yeah, you can watch it online, but I'm just gonna be honest with you. Me, Mr. Danny, being transparent. It's hard for me to watch the church service and the Cowboys games on. Just being honest. So guess what? Did I drift into the wilderness? Did I pick watching a football game? No, not every Sunday. But it shows how quickly we can drift into the wilderness. Have we forsaken our duties here at the church? Have we forsaken the things that we know for a fact that we should do? Have we walked out doing our own thing because life is good? Hey, I got money in the bank. My family's doing great. I don't have a complaint in the world. So, oh, that God fella, hey, I know you blessed me with it, but I don't have to give him everything. I ain't have to give him all my time. Have we drifted away? Are we in the wilderness? Second question I want to ask, have we neglected the things that God has called us to do? Woo, ouch, that one hurts. Because we could get so comfortable in our lives and say, oh, no, God has called me to just be an usher. God has called me, that's all I want to do, I just want to stand. And you just stop there. One thing I loved about the church when I first got here is that Pastor Rick and Jared and even Blake, they tell me, hey, look, we want you to be on our team. We want you to be around, but hey, we don't want you to stay stagnant. Whatever God is calling you to do, whatever God has instructed for you to do, whatever he's laid on your heart, please let us know and we will put you in the right position. Have you put yourself in a position to where God can use you, or have you neglected that? Have you neglected what God has really called you to do in this life? Yeah, life is fun. You got kids, they're going to tournaments, they're going out of town. I get it, that's life. But do you put that over Christ? Do you put those things that you really can put to the back burner? Can you really just say to myself, you know what, hey, I'm gonna pick on Jared real quick, but I love Jared and how he does his parenting. I'm like, all right, Joel, look, if you're gonna go to the game, you're gonna go to first service. If you're not going to first service, there's no game. But in common culture, it's, hey, game this weekend, you can ride with them. I'll go to the church, but you can ride with them. Or it's, hey, we'll just go to church next Sunday. Neglecting the call is very, very obvious in today's time. So have you neglected that? The third one I want to ask, have we adopted the values of the world? What does the world say about abortion? What does the world say about gun violence? What does the world say about politics? What does the world say about raising children? What does the world say about treating my spouse right? What does the world say about honoring my father and my mother? Have we adopted that? Have we forsaken what God has already given us in his word that we can live our lives through every day? Have we gotten away from the point of, you know what? It's more important for me to literally walk in my car, read my Bible, and redefine what's important to me in my life. And sometimes in our lives, we need miracles because we don't trust God's promises. His promises are forever and ever and ever and ever fulfilling themselves. God worked miracles to prove to an unbelieving generation who he was. And in this new generation, we should not need the miracles of the past because his promises testify to us who he is and not his power. So the last thing, point number three, that I want to bring out today is we need to face the future with humility. As a Mr. Danny sub-point, as my core kids know, sub-point up under that, we are not alone. So let's take a trip. Verse 13 through 15. Joshua's out. Maybe he's out seeking the Lord for his counsel and trying to figure out, how am I supposed to do this battle at Jericho? He's weighing out all types of options. Maybe Joshua's pondering the new beginning for the children of Israel. And maybe he was overwhelmed with the responsibility before him. Was he really up for the challenge? Did God really call him? Am I equipped to do what I'm called to do right now? He felt underqualified in this moment. He felt as if that, you know what? Maybe this is too much. I've bitten off more than I can chew. Maybe I might want to kind of roll back and kind of rethink some things. Joshua took a deep breath and he went up, and a man asked, are you on our side or on our enemy side? That man told Joshua that he was the commander of the army of the Lord and that Joshua must take off his sandals because he was on holy ground. And Joshua knew immediately that he was in the presence of the Almighty. Now, some people believe that this is an early coming of Jesus and in the Old Testament as a Christophany. People believe that, hey, you know, this is Jesus coming to him and just giving him comfort, giving him peace. Now, a question that I had in my mind was, Scripture doesn't record that Joshua talked to Moses or anything like that, but the thing that came to my mind was, I wonder if Joshua felt like Moses. When Moses was there and God met him and told him, hey, I want you to go and do this. I want you to go write this. I want you to lead these people. And Moses is like me, hey, hold on, wait a minute, time out. I can't speak that well. I got a little issue when it comes to talking, if you haven't recognized it. But God let him know, I will be here with you. Same thing with Joshua, I'm with you. Even if you look at 2 Kings chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 16 through 18, when the Spirit came to Elisha and said, don't be afraid, the prophet answered, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So Elisha had God. Moses had God. Joshua had God. Let me throw Mr. Danny in there. Mr. Danny had God. So let's just throw a Mr. Danny point in here. The age of five, probably ending kindergarten, I can't remember. That was a little while ago. My best friend, the person that I grew up with, my sister, ride or die. I mean, like this. Taken away from me. I was 5 years old. She was three. She passed away. And I said, okay, God, I feel alone. I don't have anyone. That's my best friend. I go to church. I was in the drug ministry, like Pastor Rick mentioned last week. I was drugged to church. I was drugged to Bible study. I was drugged to choir rehearsal. I was drugged to church business meetings. I was drugged to the hospital to visit people while they were sick. I was drugged to go help someone on the side of the road whenever my dad needed to be helped. So I'm alone now. I don't have any friends. I don't have anybody. I'm by myself. 12 years after that, I lose my father at the age of 17. The pivotal point in my life to where, hey, I'm about to become a man. You're about to graduate high school. You're going to have to figure this thing out on your own. I said, well, you know what? If my dad's gone, that's fine. That's cool. I still got my granddad. Jesus said, oh, hold on. Got to be quicker than that. 10 months later, my grandfather's gone. So now I feel like super alone, like, oh man, no father figure. And in those moments and in those times to where I felt that I was just in this deep, dark hole, in those times to where I felt like I was alone, these scriptures came up in my mind. The people that God had called in his life, in their lives, and let them know that, hey, I've called you for a purpose, I've called you for a reason, and in that calling, you're not gonna be alone. So I knew I had a calling on my life. I didn't know what it was at the time. But I knew that whatever God had for me, if he was by my side, I can knock it out, no matter what. And I know that some of you right now are sitting here and you're probably thinking in your mind, how in the world am I going to face what I have to face? I don't have the resources, I don't have the time or the energy to really even get it done. But if you allow the scriptures to breathe into your heart and into your lungs a new life to let you know that God is with you, no matter what situation or circumstance that you've been put in, God is right there by your side the whole way through. Let me remind you of 1 John 4:4, where it teaches us that greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. I want to remind you of Romans 8:31, that if God is for us, who can be against us? So when you're getting ready to fight in battles, when you're getting ready to go into what God has designed for you, understand and realize that guess what? God's resources are unlimited. His stretch, his love, his compassion, his care goes far more beyond anything that you can ever imagine in your life. The success is certain where there is humility. You can't go forward looking back at past failures. An old preacher says it all the time. There's a reason why the rearview mirror is smaller than the windshield. Because where you're going is way more important than what's behind you. Yeah, you need that to, you know, kind of guide you. Someone's behind you. But your main focus is in front, what you're trying to get towards, where you're trying to go. So I never see someone driving doing this. And if I do, man, you better start praying. Because the future is what it is that you're supposed to be reaching towards. Not back there. Pride and arrogance are preludes to failure. So we must take off our shoes. They had enemies that they had to fight, and we have enemies that we have to fight. But we cannot fight those enemies in the flesh. These attacks that Satan has unleashed into this world, we can't fight that with our flesh. School shootings, grocery store shootings, politics going crazy. Who wants to do this? Who wants to do that? We can't agree on anything. We can't fight this with flesh and blood. This is not a fight of, hey, let's go down there and let's do this and let's rectify this. It's not going to work that way. God has called us to be a light in darkness. God has called us to not fight with flesh and blood. And this is a spiritual fight. It's not a physical fight. This is a fight that we must gird up ourselves, put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And in order to be able to stand, you got to gird yourself up. You have to build yourself up. One thing I love about this scripture is this: to be standing before the fight, to be standing during the fight, and to be standing after the fight. So yeah, we're getting ready to go into battle. Joshua's getting everybody ready. And he said, you know what? We got to get ourselves together. I got to cut away some things. I got to remove some things out of my life. I have to get in line with the process of God. I love traveling. I don't do it as much as I used to, but I love it. Okay, I love the whole experience of traveling, going to another place and not having to worry about home. But the thing that I hate the most is the process. I'm just going to be honest. I hate packing bags because I always forget something. Thank God for Target and Walmart, okay? I hate it, all right? I even hate going through the TSA line. Why do I have to take off my shoes and my belt, and you have a screen here that can look at my insides? It's no point. I even hate waiting to board. Like, why am I sitting here? The plane's right there. I'm looking at it. Can we just go and get on? It's ready. I don't care about the peanuts because I promise you, by the time y'all come around with the snack cart, I'll already be asleep. I even hate sitting there on the plane. Can we back up? Everybody's sitting down. The seatbelts are on. What are we waiting on? Can we leave? I even hate the process of flying. Like, hey, man, I know it said that we would be here by this time. Why are we still not on the ground? And then, God forbid if I have a check bag, I hate waiting on the bag at baggage claim. God forbid, wherever I'm going, someone's there that I don't know to pick me up at Uber, and he's running late. Dude, where are you? I requested this 35 minutes ago. No one likes the process of waiting. And that's all Joshua chapter 5 is to me. It's a preparation. It's a time where I have to sit, self-reflect, and think about everything that I've done. I have to think about where I'm going. So no one likes to wait. No one likes to sit in a stillness to hear from God and hear his voice because we're rapidly moving. We want things to be done in our time. I pick on myself again. I love Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A has the fastest drive-thru line, but they could be faster. I don't want to wait. It's not that hard, people. Y'all are only doing one chicken sandwich and a couple of nuggets, people. It's not that hard. So I want to encourage us this morning. I want to encourage you that, yeah, you might be in a dark spot. You might be right where God wants you to be right now in your life so that he can use you to battle anything else. Look, we're going back. Today, we're looking at Joshua chapter 5. Someone getting ready for battle. And we're in battles of our own lives every day. We battle things that we can speak of and that we can't speak of. So I want to encourage you this morning that as you go through your life, as you go through your day to day, don't neglect God, but pull him closer to you. It's painful. Yeah, he's going to have to separate you from some people, some things that you like to do, some things that you're comfortable with. But I promise you, the promised land is far more greater than where you are right now. Would you pray with me? God, we love you and we thank you for showing us through Joshua's life how we are able to prepare for battle. Yes, it's painful. We got to go through a process that might sting a little bit. We got to separate ourselves from some things and we got to identify who we are and we have to really get in line with you so we can hear your voice. Yes, sometimes we get weary in our well-doing. We get down on ourselves. We don't know if God really is on our side, but God, give us peace and comfort to know that wherever we are, you already have met us there. And wherever we're trying to go, you're already there. And you'll be with us every step of the way. God, we love you and we thank you for this passage and help us in our lives to get ready for that great promised land. In Jesus' name that we pray, in Jesus' name that we ask it all. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message and we invite you to join us again next week. Remember to visit us online at fellowshipforney.org for more information about our church, service times, and location. Thanks again.